SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to. From the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water. Yiridimarang, hello, I'm your host Luana Grant and welcome to NITV Radio for this Wednesday, the 5th of November. Coming up on today's show, I yarn with actor Hunter Paige Lashard, who stars alongside Tasma Walton in the brand new SBS and NITV original series Reckless. And we share a story by SBS News as traditional owners in far north Queensland are calling for an iconic saltwater crocodile to be returned to country as Indigenous leaders say proper consultation needs to occur. But coming up first is the latest news for this Wednesday, the 5th of November. You're listening to NITV Radio.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, ASIO foils foreign spy plot to recruit Australians and steal sensitive national secrets. UN warns world set to permanently breach 1.5 degrees Celsius climate target within a decade. And in tennis, Greek tragedy for Novak Djokovic on debut in Athens. A new report suggests remote and rural First Nations communities across Australia experience on average 49 disconnections from their energy retailer each year, or nearly one power cut a week. These communities have only one option for energy, and that is prepaid or upfront payments to connect to small local suppliers that service their area. The research by the Aboriginal Community and Clean Energy Organisation, Original Power, has found 65,000 First Nations Australians are impacted by this in the Northern Territory, Western Australia, South Australia and Queensland. Report co-author Lloyd Pigram is a researcher at the University of Notre Dame's Nillungu Research Institute and has told SBS the findings are eye-opening.
The challenges of being on prepaid meters that I first was introduced to when visiting family that I didn't really take notice until I actually went and did the survey. Things that came out of the surveys, which are often food shortages to people, old people, chronic illnesses, running out of power as we were doing it.
The Australian Security Intelligence Organisation has foiled an elaborate plot by foreign spies to convince several Australians to betray their country after months of grooming. Speaking at the 2025 Lowy Lecture in Sydney on Tuesday evening, Mike Burgess, the ASIO Director General of Security, identified the intelligence agents only as belonging to a foreign government that claims it does not spy on Australia.
This Foreign Intelligence Service arranged for the Australian to travel by plane and then a boat to a third country for a face-to-face meeting. The spies wanted to hand over a list of their intelligence requirements, the people and things they wanted spied on. Little did they know, ASIO was tracking and manipulating their entire activity. When their intelligence officers arrived at the location, they were not met by their target, they were met by an ASIO officer.
Information on Australia's economy, critical minerals deal and the AUKUS nuclear-powered submarine pact were high on the list of the agency's intelligence requests, according to ASIO. The story came with a grim warning. More Australians are being targeted for espionage and foreign interference than ever before. Liberal Senator Andrew Bragg has accused the Albanese government of hiding key Treasury modelling behind its first home buyer's deposit scheme, claiming it is driving up entry-level property prices. Speaking to the ABC after the Senate ordered the government to release the modelling data, Mr Bragg says the 5% deposit scheme had already pushed prices higher than forecast.
Now, the Prime Minister in the past has mentioned that there would be less than 1% increase over the course of the year. But we've already seen that eclipsed in the first month. So it is not okay for the government to completely ignore the will of the Senate. They are incredibly arrogant. And we expect that the government will ultimately comply with the orders of the Senate, because otherwise, what's the point of us all coming to Canberra here?
The program, known as the Help to Buy scheme, allows first-time buyers to purchase homes with smaller deposits, but critics argue it's inflating demand without boosting supply. Mr Bragg also welcomed a new Senate inquiry into Australian lagging productivity, calling the nation's performance woeful and urging Labor to deliver policies that create better opportunities, better lives and more jobs. Food Bank Australia is urging the government to introduce a national tax incentive to encourage farmers to donate excess produce rather than waste it. Chief Executive and former Independent MP Kalia Tink says similar schemes in the US and Germany have proven effective and should be replicated in Australia. She argues the country already produces enough food to feed its population three times over, but needs a better system to get it into people's hands.
One in three Australian households are currently reporting that they're food insecure, and that means that it's not just that they're worrying about not being able to put food on the table, they literally are changing what they buy. They're making compromises in terms of the nutritional value of the food they purchase.
Each year, Australian farmers discard enough food to fill the Melbourne cricket ground nine times, while millions of households struggle to afford groceries. The charity says the plan would also help cut food waste and lower carbon emissions, calling it both a humanitarian and environmental solution. Tobacconists across New South Wales could be shut down on the spot as a major crackdown on illegal tobacco and vaping begins. Under new New South Wales health powers, shops caught selling unlicensed or illicit products can be closed for 90 days or up to a year for serious breaches. Two stores in St Leonard's have already been raided, with nearly 4,000 illegal cigarettes and 200 vapes seized. New South Wales Health Minister Ryan Park says anyone breaking the law will be caught. Fines now reach $660,000 for individuals and $880,000 for companies, while possessing illicit tobacco can mean $1.5 million in penalties or 7 years jail. Since January, New South Wales Health has saved almost 12 million cigarettes and 170,000 illegal vapes and warns this is only the beginning. According to the largest study of its kind, children face half the risk of heart complications if vaccinated against COVID-19 compared to becoming infected. Researchers analysed the health records of nearly 14 million people under 18 in England between January 2020 and December 2022 to assess both short and long-term risks. They found those who received the Pfizer vaccine had around half the likelihood of developing myocarditis or pericarditis, rare but serious heart inflammations, within 6 months compared to those who caught the virus. University of Queensland infectious diseases expert Professor Paul Griffith says the findings align with existing evidence on COVID-19, vaccination and heart inflammation in children. And Transport for New South Wales is urging Oasis fans to take public transport to this weekend's sold-out concerts at a cool stadium. Around 70,000 people are expected each night as the Gallagher brothers perform at Sydney Olympic Park on Friday and Saturday. Coordinator General Howard Collins says public transport is included in concert tickets and is their easiest way to get there. Express trains will operate between Central and Olympic Park before and after the shows, with direct connections from Lidcombe for those travelling from Western Sydney. Novak Djokovic has overcome Alejandro Tabilo for the first time to reach the last eight at the Hellenic Championship in Athens. Chilean Tabilo, ranked 89th in the world, had beaten the 24-time Grand Slam singles champion in both of their previous meetings, which came on clay in Rome last year and Monte Carlo in April. But top seed Djokovic served 13 aces and faced just one break point on his way to a 7-6, 6-1 victory on the hard courts of the Greek capital, where elite-level tennis returned for the first time since 1994 to reach the 225th tour-level quarterfinal of his career. The Telecom Center crowd offered constant support for the Serb, who moved with his family to Athens earlier this year. In rugby union, an elite squad of First Nations teams are prepping to compete with their Polynesian and Melanesian former rivals ahead of the 2025 Global Youth Sevens. The young players of Indigenous Australian, Samoan, Tongan, Fijian and Maori heritage have been chosen to compete together in the seven-a-side tournament after their performances in the recent Pacific Youth Rugby Festival. The Global Youth Sevens will welcome 40 under-18 teams from as far away as South Africa, Chile and the US, in addition to 8 separate Australian outfits to compete at the Dilworth School in Auckland, New Zealand. The Queensland Indigenous and Pacifica coaching staff are setting out their strategies before beginning their opening training run next week in Brisbane. Now for a look at today's weather. Perth, a shower or two and 24. Adelaide, partly cloudy and 20. Melbourne, a possible shower and 19. Hobart, shower or two, 15. Canberra, cloud clearing and 19. Wollongong, it's sunny and 23. Sydney, also sunny, 25. Newcastle, sunny at 25. Brisbane, it's also sunny for you and 30. Cairns, possible showers and 33. And in Darwin, there'll be a shower or two and 35 degrees. And that's NITV Radio News. I'm Yasmin Al-Wakel.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio. Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio and I'm your host, Luana Grant. Still to come on the show today, I yarn with actor Hunter Page Lashard, who stars alongside Tasma Walton in the brand new SBS and NITV original series, Reckless. But first, here's the latest news from our NITV news team. New South Wales police are offering $1 million reward in the hope of solving the cold case murder of Bogabilla woman Teresa Binge. It's been 22 years since the 43-year-old Gomeroi grandmother was last seen in a pub in the Queensland border town of Gundawindi. Almost 2 weeks later, her naked and badly beaten body was found in a drainage culvert in northern New South Wales. The drain is about 12 kilometres away from the pub where Teresa was last seen and is beneath the Mungindi and Gundawindi Bridge Road. Her family have never stopped fighting for her murderer to be found. Homicide detectives will spend this week in Moree and Gundawindi raising awareness about the cold case.
It was devastated, you know, like there's still people out there walking around that know something. Why held it back for 20 years or 22 years? We just want answers, you know. Someone please come forward.
Traditional owners from the Cape York Peninsula are calling for an iconic saltwater crocodile to be returned to country. The reptile was rehomed at the weekend following concerns over aggressive behaviour, but Indigenous leaders say proper consultation needs to occur.
A predator made famous alongside the late Steve Irwin in the 1990s.
You're all right, mate.
This 4.5-metre crocodile, known as Old Faithful, holds deep cultural significance for First Nations people in far north Queensland.
Old Faithful is a totemic animal for the Kookawarra Aboriginal people, and some family members have very strong and cultural connections to Old Faithful.
The saltwater croc was moved to Australia Zoo over the weekend after being removed from Normanby River in Queensland's far north last month. It was first taken to a facility in Cairns and now resides almost 2,000 kilometres from its home.
We don't want our crocodile down there. He shouldn't have went down there in the first place, and he should be brought back home here.
Traditional owners from the Renyiru Lakefield Aboriginal Corporation say they were not properly consulted in this decision and are calling for the crocodile to be returned to its natural habitat. Environmental advocates say Old Faithful should have been moved to a facility on country if it cannot be returned to the wild.
I think it's concerning when, you know, proper consultation hasn't occurred, especially when you've got an icon crocodile.
The Queensland Environment Department says we consulted with the relevant traditional owners before removing it from the wild and while considering rehoming options for the animal, adding that it was removed after receiving reports of its repeated and concerning behaviour that was escalating as a direct result of it being fed by people. When fed, crocodiles quickly begin to associate people with food.
What we would really like to see is the Queensland government cracking down on this reckless behaviour and fining people and ensuring that a crocodile removal is always a last resort.
On Instagram, Terry Irwin said, "While I wish he could have stayed in his home in North Queensland, I am thankful that we were given the opportunity to give him a new habitat where he will be safe from human interference."
A First Nations inventor has been recognised for emerging science and sea country knowledge at the 26 Prime Minister's Prizes for Science. Professor Michael Ware is leading a world-first seagrass restoration project that employs Aboriginal divers, creates sustainable livelihoods, and is reviving cultural connections to the ocean.
Western science recognising the value of Indigenous knowledge. Professor Michael Weir is the inaugural winner of the Prime Minister's Prize for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Knowledge Systems.
It's a humble feeling I got, but I always wanted to make sure that I do my best, and I'm the first, but I don't want to be the last.
Professor Weir is the Mulgina traditional custodian of Shark Bay in Western Australia. He's also the founder of Tidal Moon, Australia's first Indigenous-owned sea cucumber fishery and marine restoration enterprise.
Right now they're being bought by the Chinese. We have a Singaporean buyer who sends them up to China, but we're trying to pivot the market towards the West and develop health and beauty products.
Sea cucumbers are this country's oldest export. First Nations people in Arnhem Land would trade them with the Macassans. The cucumbers are used as a food source, particularly in Asian cuisine, and in traditional medicine for a wide range of ailments.
Sea cucumbers have great amino acids, they have good protein, they're full of collagen, good stuff for the gut, and they're also good stuff for your skin.
Under Professor Weir's leadership, Tidal Moon is partnering with scientists in a world-first project to restore seagrass.
We wanted to bring a cultural directed solution to the world to show how we can restore our sea meadows in Shark Bay.
Indigenous divers are playing a key role in environmental observation and seagrass restoration.
Seagrass is very important to Shark Bay. It also filters a lot of the nutrients through. It stops currents. It stores carbon.
An innovation that's bringing Indigenous knowledge systems to the forefront of marine conservation. Michael Rennie, NITV News.
18-year-old Warramungu man Jaden Dickinson has been named the NT Young Australian of the Year. The teen from Tennant Creek received the accolade at an award ceremony in Darwin. He was recognised as a beacon of hope for young people for his work as a youth diversion officer. Mr Dickinson's efforts have led to a significant reduction in the number of young people reoffending, and he hopes to continue working to change lives in his community.
My future plan is to change the community where I stay, change the young people's lives there, just to let them know that they've got a second chance in life to live a better life, to get back on track, find a job and live their life happiest.
Independent Senator Lydia Thorpe has called for an inquiry into the government's Social Security bill, warning last-minute amendments could unfairly target vulnerable people, including First Nations families. The new amendment would give the Home Affairs Minister power to suspend or cut off Centrelink payments if a person has outstanding arrest warrants. The bill was made to compensate people affected by the government's unlawful income averaging scheme, which had wrongly reduced welfare payments before being overturned in the High Court. Senator Thorpe is warning the new amendments could punish vulnerable people.
We look at the assault on Aboriginal women who are victims of family violence, and the cops rock up and those Aboriginal women become the perpetrators. Now, this has long-reaching impacts on so many other people that it needs to be taken out of this legislation and an inquiry needs to happen.
Bibbulmun Noongar academic Hannah McGlade says a historic apology for the Pindara massacre could create more pressure to change the names of places named after colonial figures. 191 years ago, Western Australia's first governor, James Stirling, led a massacre of Bindurrub Noongar people at Pindara near Perth. Last week, the current governor, Chris Dawson, formally apologised for the massacre. Several landmarks and areas in WA are named after James Stirling, and the state government has conceded conversations need to be had with Aboriginal people across the state.
It's really been a message to Aboriginal people that actually, you know, we haven't mattered and our people's lives haven't mattered here. I think we're going to see more scrutiny and questioning and dialogue about place names after colonial figures who have been involved in atrocity against Aboriginal people.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Traditional owners in far north Queensland are calling for an iconic saltwater crocodile to be returned to country. The croc, named Old Faithful, featured in the Crocodile Hunter series alongside the late Steve Irwin, but he's been rehomed far from his natural habitat following concerns over aggressive behaviour. As I, Yasmin Alwakal, report, Indigenous leaders say proper consultation was needed to occur before that decision was taken. He is an apex predator, made famous alongside the late conservationist and television personality Steve Irwin in the 1990s.
As we get closer, we can see there's a croc in the net. It's him.
But the 4.5-metre crocodile known as Old Faithful holds deep cultural significance for First Nations people. Alwyn Law from the Rinyaru or Lakefield Aboriginal Corporation chairperson says Old Faithful is like a family member to the community.
Old Faithful is a totemic animal for the Kookawarra Aboriginal people, and some family members have very strong and cultural connections to Old Faithful himself.
The animal is now a long way from home. Wildlife officers removed him from the Normanby Rinyaru National Park last month after reports that visitors were using food to lure him from the water to take photos. Since then, he has been living in a Queensland Parks and Wildlife Service facility in Cairns. He has now been moved again to a new home at the Australia Zoo on the Sunshine Coast, owned by the Irwin family, nearly 2,000 kilometres from his natural habitat. The Queensland Environment Department has said in a statement that it was determined that was the best suited facility for Old Faithful, given his size and significance. The zoo has released a social media video with croc team member Toby explaining the crocodile's transfer.
We would have loved to hear that Old Faithful, and we were hopeful that Old Faithful could have been released back into his natural habitat in Rinyaru National Park. Once we heard that he was unreleasable, we jumped in to offer to give him a home, because we know that we can give him the best of the best for the rest of his life and to avoid him going to a crocodile farm.
Alwyn Law says that video was the first he heard about Old Faithful's move, and traditional owners were not consulted about the decision. He's calling for the crocodile to be returned to its natural habitat.
What they should do is bring it back home. I'm waiting for that Australian zoo to contact me because, you know, they need to hear it from us. What they're doing is not right. And, you know, we don't want our crocodile down there. He shouldn't have went down there in the first place. And he should be brought back home here.
Amanda French is the co-founder of Community Representation of Crocodiles, or CROC, Queensland. She also says Old Faithful should have been moved to a facility on country if he could not be returned to the wild.
Yeah, I think it's concerning when, you know, proper consultation hasn't occurred, especially when you've got an icon crocodile and there is an icon crocodile process that needs to be undertaken where traditional owners are supposed to be engaged on where a crocodile goes beyond removal.
The group has requested a statement of reasons from the government regarding Old Faithful's relocation.
So what we would really like to see is the Queensland government cracking down on this reckless behaviour and fining people and ensuring that a crocodile removal is always a last resort and that there's other mitigation strategies that can be carried out, such as fining people for illegally feeding crocodiles before such a drastic measure is undertaken and we remove a threatened species from a protected area.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Today, we're catching up with actor and proud First Nations storyteller Hunter Page Lashard, who stars alongside Tasma Walton in the brand new SBS and NITV original series Reckless. It's a darkly funny, chaotic ride through guilt, family and dysfunction. Hunter joins us now to tell us more about the series, his character Charlie, and what audiences can expect when Reckless premieres on SBS, NITV and SBS On Demand on Wednesday, November 12th.
Thanks so much for me today, and I'm really excited to talk about the new series, Reckless. Described as pure chaos, a dark comedy with deadly family secrets, how would you describe this series in your own words?
Oh, Lord. I think they've already described it pretty well, but I would call it reckless. No. terrible joke. No, I think I would describe it as a dark comedy that really explores kind of the ups and downs of sibling rivalry, I guess. So it's a show where too many mistakes happen.
And can you tell us a little bit about your character, Charlie? What drives him and how does his relationship with June, who's played by Tasma Walton, set the tone for the story?
I think because they're such polar opposites, and I think that has to do with their upbringing as well. You know, Charlie's a character that wears his heart on his sleeve. He's a bit oblivious to the bad energy in life, I think, because, you know, he just wants to coax along a little bit positively and sometimes that direction, I think, distracts him from the real problems that are swirling around him, whether that is with his baby mama or his sister or his responsibilities. I definitely think, you know, he was the mother's boy growing up, and June definitely wasn't the mother's girl. And I think that is kind of where the rivalry stems from, is the mother's attention, I think, and the different perceptions of their upbringing. And so they definitely love each other. I think Charlie loves June a bit more, but at the end of the day, I think they definitely do both love each other. Yeah, but it definitely stems from from their upbringing and June having to deal with a lot more and Charlie kind of being protected his whole life.
And that sibling dynamic between you and Tasma's character is really central to the story. What was it like building that on-screen chemistry with Tasma?
It was fun. It's the second time or third time I've gotten to work with Tasma, so there's already a strong relationship there personally. But you know, I've got an older sister, and so I know how it is to tease your older sister or to be singled out, etc. So we kind of really just kind of straight away treated each other like we were brother and sister a little bit too much. There were moments where I was telling Tasma to kind of like ease up a bit. Yeah, it was definitely, you know, a moment where, you know, we had some great rehearsals with Bec Cole, who directed it, and Cody Bedford, who wrote it, to just kind of get a clear insight of how much they do, you know, how much they've spent together over the years, how much loyalty Charlie has towards June and vice versa. So we really got into the nuts and bolts of what their relationship is and where it stems from. And then the chemistry, I think, just came from me and Tasma just kind of, you know, jumping in and enjoying it, because the script, you know, it's rare when you get such a good cohesive script that has it all there for you. You know, all you really got to do is just rock up and deliver what's on the page.
And you did mention Reckless was written by the amazing Cody Bedford and directed by Bec Cole, two incredible women in film and TV. What was it like working alongside them?
Well, it was like I was working with three big sisters.
Yeah.
You know, they all kind of, you know, they're all very different, but they all kind of treated me the same in that sense of like the younger little brother on set. But, you know, it was great. You know, Bec is such a force of nature. She really is experienced and knows what she's doing, and you know, you trust her immensely, and she delivers. And Cody's kind of the same. You know, Cody was there every single day. It's rare that you get a writer on set every single day, and so it really became sort of this you know, family that was trying to all achieve the same thing. So it was great. It was great to be a part of. I would 100% jump into the firing line for any of those women. Yeah.
And without giving too much away, there's a mix of like humor and high stakes drama. What was the most like challenging or maybe surprising part of balancing all of those different aspects as an actor?
Oh, look, I think at times it gets a bit hard because you try to question if you can do the comedy or if you can be funny. But I think a lot of that has to come down to, one, your leadership, which is Bec Cole, and kind of guiding you and reining you in and making sure you're hitting the right beats. But also the writing, again, you know, like Cody really wrote something that was funny on the page. And, you know, usually when you're doing a comedy, you're always trying to ad-lib or kind of add a bit more jokes to the story. But it really didn't need any of that. You know, there was a lot of moments where me especially was just telling myself it's there. It's on the page. It's within the character. The comedy is within the character. It's not so much, you know, punchlines and jokes and all those things. It's very much the characteristics and the circumstances that these characters put themselves in that is funny. And so it was really just trying to do the truth of that, like do the truth of what's actually happening rather than the truth of what's funny. Because then the humor came out of that, really. Like there was a lot of moments on set where we would be losing it, cracking up and having to redo a take. And it wasn't because someone said a funny line or anything like that. It was just because of the mannerisms that the actor was playing that character as, you know? So yeah, a lot of it had to do with the writing and just the leadership, really. Yeah. But you know, it was hard. And there was a lot of moments where we said, okay, no, just follow the drama in this, because Because no matter how serious you are about your predicament or your situation, someone's going to find the absurdity funny of that, the absurdity of that situation funny. So yeah, we just had to lean into what was already there.
And how did filming, like in Fremantle, influence the energy and the authenticity of the story and, you know, having being in that environment? What was it like being able to film there?
Oh, I love it. I definitely fell in love with Fremantle and Perth, but definitely Fremantle. Look, you're around the community, you're around your locations. You definitely feel a lot more immersed, instead of having to travel so far away to your locations. We were living in Fremantle and working in Fremantle, so you definitely kind of you're able to observe quite a lot of the community within that area and kind of just replicate that. There was a lot of moments in rehearsals where I had to get rid of my Eastern Australian accent and try and do a, deeper Troy Cassar-Daley vibe for WA. So that was kind of the only thing really that was hard for me to kind of place. But other than that, I think just being immersed in Fremantle and living there really just helped create such an authentic vibe, I think.
And the series mixes crime and comedy in a really bold way. What do you hope mob and like broader audiences will take away from Reckless?
I think what I hope is to get more urban stories like this. We have black characters that are living in an urban setting and doing urban things and trying to find their place in this Australian world, I guess. Which I think is it's not really showcased on screen quite a lot. So I hope, audiences, not so much, I don't hope that they take something from it. I hope that they just want more of that. I really feel like Cody's cracked something here, and I honestly feel that hopefully this opens the gates for more kind of modern commercial takes of Indigenous stories. Because this at the end of the day, this isn't really an Indigenous story. It's just got Indigenous characters in it, and they're living their authenticity and they're living their truth as an Indigenous person living in the city. So I just hope audiences want more of that, because I definitely feel like there will be more. So hopefully there's an audience for it.
Yeah, definitely. And finally, if you had to describe Reckless in three words to get people tuning in, what would that be?
I would say stupid, fun, and thrilling.
Awesome. That definitely gets me tuning in. No, I
I'm not
see
sure if
the
stupid is the right word, but you know what I mean. Silly, silly.
Yeah. No, I've seen the trailer and it looks amazing and I can't wait to tune in. And I really want to thank you as well for taking some time to chat to me about the new series. And yeah, all the best with it. I'm sure everyone's going to love it because it looks amazing.
Oh, thank you so much, Luana. I'm excited.
Join the conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. To catch up on any of our stories, please head to our website at sbs.com.au or listen through the SBS audio app. NITV Radio will be back on Friday with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant Mundungor. Thanks so much for joining me and have a great day.
People's movement. People's movement. People's movement.